sword. Yashimoto was close at his heels, with Hideyoshi in third place. There were four more of the senior samurai who would survive the tidal wave, though Ryan didn't know any of their names, as they kept to themselves and hadn't made any real attempt to speak to the outlanders. Ryan walked a couple of paces farther back, trying to keep a clear line of sight on the building. Jack was off to his right, his big gun still holstered, and JB stalked along his left, cradling the Uzi.
Want us to go around back, Mashashiga? Come in the other side?
We will all go in together, not sneaking like thieves and spies, cowarding in bushes and trees. Together in the front door of the place.
We'll all go together when we go. All for one, and all dead.
This is insane, Ryan. If they got rifles, they can take us all in a single volley.
See the windows?
Sure.
Not one of them's broken. If you were planning to ambush someone, you'd clear the glass out of the way first. Whatever the runner got planned, I don't figure it as a shooting.
I hope you're right. Short hairs at the back of my neck don't tell me there's men with rifles all set up to take us. Then again, I could be wrong.
More likely trying to waste lots of the army. Not just half a dozen of us.
Lure the rest in, you mean? Could be, Jack. Could be.
Mashashiga stopped, holding up his hand, looking behind him for his foreign allies.
Now we go in.
Ryan stared him in the face, sensing the unspoken challenge.
Yeah, why not?
Hideyoshi walked up to the heavy glass front doors. As soon as they were inside, Ryan knew that they were safe in the rambling motel. The place smelled as though it had been empty for a good 100 years, the air stale and dull.
If they were here, they've gone now. They didn't stay long.
Could have left a few suicide troops behind. That was their way in the Second World War in the Pacific. Considered it an honor to take a few Yanks with them. Bite on a grin.
Mashashiga and his colleagues were already vanishing into the shadowy interior of the old motel. Behind Ryan, the afternoon sun was sinking lower, turning a deep red as it dropped away. It was becoming markedly colder.
This could be a good base for tonight. How far we chased him, Ronan?
Ryan shook his head. He saw a long sofa squatting in a corner and cautiously sat on it.
I don't know, Jack. It's all this honor crap that means so much to the Shogun and his merry gang. Seems that the invasion of his palace really put the rats in the corn for him.
JB walked around the lobby, looking at the pictures that hung on the walls. Most were stylized landscapes, some of them showing the strange foam-topped waves they'd seen before.
Strange this place wasn't stripped.
Yashimoto re-entered the room.
This was for Gaijin. Many were massacred here in Skydock time. Bodies thrown into sea. It was revenge against Americans for many bad things. So place is now haunted by spirits of dead.
Mashashiga appeared, almost invisible in the darkness.
But all that was generations ago, Yashimoto. We are wiser now. The Ronin were here, but they have gone. Hideyoshi, bring men and supplies. Here we will stay for the night. Any spirits left can do us no hurt.
The wags carried large supplies of candles and lamps, and the old Best Eastern Motel was soon filled with light, dismissing the shadows to the blackest corners. Cooking fires were lit in an overgrown atrium courtyard, with cauldrons of fish, vegetable soup, and spiced rice soon bubbling merrily over them. Hideyoshi was sitting with the outlanders in one of the lounges, golden light dancing off his balding pate. Like the rest of the samurai, he had peeled off his ornate heavy armor, and looked like a middle-aged storekeeper, relaxing after work in a deep imitation leather armchair.
How many sentries you posted? A place positioned like this should be easy to guard against a mass attack. Ocean on three sides of it.
One samurai and 10 men, changing them every 2 hours. Lord Mashashiga fears that... No, not fears. Lord Mashashiga thinks that the Ronin might steal boats up on the coast and try to attack us from the sea up the cliffs.
Could be.
Ryan had scouted the motel, both inside and outside, and suspected that the sheer rock face down to the turbulent ocean might prove unscalable, which didn't mean that desperate men might not attempt it. In the old warwag days with the trader, he'd watched as some jolt-crazed stickies had come at them through banks of coiled razor wire. The muties literally ripped their bodies apart, leaving chunks of bloody flesh and gobbets of muscle hanging on the wire, but still fighting to reach the norms. Most of the Shogun's sizable army was camped in what had once been a ballroom or conference suite, a huge vault of a room, well over 100 feet square, with a polished woodblock floor and heavy steel sec shutters over all of the windows, making it a good place to defend. It had crossed Ryan's mind that it also would make it one hell of a trap. Mashashiga had allocated a large family suite for the Outlanders. It was on the north side of the complex, on the second floor, with a balcony overlooking the top of the cliffs. It held two double beds and two singles. There was a general air of excitement in the packed motel, as though everyone anticipated catching up with the fleeing Ronin in the next day or so. Most of the companies elected to go to bed early, with the expectation of an early start around dawn the next morning. But Ryan found sleep difficult and eased himself from the bed, trying not to disturb Christy.
You going for a leak, Clover?
No, I just feel uneasy. Thought I might walk around, check security.
Not our problem.
Staying alive's always our problem.
True. You mind if I join you?
Of course not. Bring the blaster.
Only got to pull my pants and my boots on. Be right with you.
I'm gonna check the balcony.
Ryan eased open the glass door. There was a sliver of moon, half hidden behind a ragged wall of spindrift cloud. There was no sign of life outside. Ryan leaned across the iron railing, peering to his left, glimpsing one of the armed patrols of Mashashiga's soldiers marching steadily around an inner perimeter. Christy came to his side, pressing against him.
No Ronin?
Not yet.
We going to look around inside?
Yeah.
Got your blaster, lover? Just want to make sure you haven't forgotten.
I haven't. Come on. And try not to trip over your own feet and wake everyone.
They passed several internal guards on their way to the ballroom. They then saw Mashashiga striding along one of the corridors past what had once been a weight room filled with rusting Nautilus equipment.
It is quiet, friends.
Hope it stays that way. Just taking a last look around.
I will walk along with you, Kota-san. And with you, Christy Roth.
Ryan found it difficult to dislike the warlord. They walked together in a companionable silence until they reached the ballroom doors. One of the crimson and white uniformed Sekmen was fiddling with the door's outer bolts, but he bowed and walked quickly away as they approached him.
I don't know how you recognize all your men, Lord Mashashiga.
I do not know them all. His face was that of a strange person to me.
In strength, there's weakness.
Ryan held the heavy door open for the Shogun and Christy to walk through. There was row upon row of the troops, all sleeping on thin straw mattresses that had been carried in the wags.
They are brave and loyal.
You pay them, or is it like family? If you got beaten by the Ronin, then would your men stay and support whoever the leader of the Ronin is?
You mean my younger brother, Ryuko?
Brother?
All of this is a matter between you and your brother?
He has tried for some years to defeat me, but he becomes more bold and tries to slay me in my own home. That is not to be forgiven.
I never knew that we were involved in a family feud.
Do you know anything of brothers, Kota-san?
Ryan touched his eye patch.
A brother did this to me. Oh yeah, I know all there is to know about how brothers can treat each other.
It is great stupid thinking from Ryuko. He has less than half the number of warriors, though we have been sorely wounded by the tsunami slaying some of our best samurai. Such men are not easily replaced.
The moonlight filtered through the steel shutters over all the windows. A few of the men were awake, propped up on their elbows to watch their lord and the gaijin.
What was that?
Mashashiga swung around, his sword miraculously appearing in his right hand.
And that was the door. We have been locked in.
The man who was messing with the bolts when we came in. I got a bad feeling from him.
You are right.
The shogun looked around the room.
Does this mean they hope to hold us trapped here while traitors open the gates to my brother and the Ronin who wait? No, they would not pass the guards without a warning.
Ryan was like a caged panther, constantly moving, his head darting from side to side, trying to see what the threat could be and how it would be delivered. Other than the main door and the windows, the only other way in or out of the ballroom would be through the rectangular air vents in the ceiling. They weren't big enough for access. One of the Sekmen in the far corner of the huge room, directly below one of the vents, suddenly began to stir. Ryan spun, seeing that two more of the soldiers, close in the corner, had also awakened. Ryan looked up at the big air vents, a sudden, dreadful suspicion filling his mind. Christy did the same, grabbing him by the arm, as still more of the army jerked from sleep.
It is an attack with gas. The Ronin have trapped us like foxes in their den and will cure us with poison gas.
The doors were reinforced with sex steel, and Ryan saw immediately that there was no way he could shoot out the locks. It would take 4 ounces of Plas-X or a couple of implode grenades to break them down.
Windows.
Shutters are